So we are carrying on our series, week two of a series called The Gospel According to Abraham. And we're going to be spending a few weeks looking at this great man's story and realizing there's lots of good news throughout it. And there's a gospel message running through it. There was good news for Abraham at the time and is good news for us today, and that we can learn lots from what happened to Abraham. And as we said last week, there can sometimes be a little bit of confusion because Abraham has these two names. At the start of his story, he's known as Abram, and then later on, he's known as Abraham. Can anyone remember what these names mean? Sorry, Eric, I tried to get them to applaud you, but, you know, they weren't going. That's a Fulham fan for you, you see, that kind of wisdom and deep insight. Good man. And father and father of many. So really, they're a little bit interchangeable. And so as we go through this story, what we'll find is we use both names at different times. But that's okay. And what we found last week was that really Abraham is the model of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of God. Obviously Abraham was around many years before Jesus, yet he still shows us what it means to be a follower of Jesus today, what it means to be a follower of God, because he based his life, he lived his life on the basis of God's call. That God put a call on Abraham's life, and that was front and center for him. That was the foundation of his life. You know, sometimes we can think, you know, what it means to be a Christian means, you know, behaving in a certain way, doing the right things, not the wrong things, doing certain things, that being a Christian means coming along to church, that it means being charitable, that it means saying the right things and not saying wrong things. And whilst all those things are good, and we might want to see those evident in our life, that isn't what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian isn't about what we do, it's about what's been done for us. It's about the call of God on our lives, that he reached out, that he called out to us and drew us towards himself. And that truly defines what a Christian is, this call of God on our lives. Hearing that call and then responding to it. Because when that happens, when there's communication, when God speaks to us, when he challenges us or he promises something to us in our lives and we hear that and respond, immediately there's a relationship. And that's what defines us as Christians. That's what it defines us as people who follow God. A relationship with the living God. And that's what Abraham had. He had a relationship based on this call. And that call for Abraham just keeps coming up and up and up again in his life. You know, last week we found he was called to get away from his family. Do you remember that? Get thee out, as it says in the King James Version. Get away from your family. You need to go out on your own. Yeah, there's a challenge there, a call. And then at the end of this week's passage, in chapter 13, we see that call again. Look, in verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham, look around from where you are, north, south, east, west. All of this land you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. And it just goes on and on. This call just keeps coming back in Abraham's life. In fact, if you look at his story in between chapters 12 and 25 in Genesis, we see 12 times God calls to Abraham. It's like this rhythm going through his life time and time again. God calls out to him and he keeps coming back to it. But isn't that the same for us? You know, when God first called you, you know, when was that? When was that moment when you first heard God calling to you, drawing you to himself? And doesn't he keep coming back? He does it in my life. You know, even this week, Mark, you know, you need to stop doing that, challenging me. Other times it comes as a promise or some encouragement. But throughout our lives, God keeps calling us. The emphasis might change, but he will keep speaking to us. And listen, what defines us as Christians isn't what we do, but it's listening for that voice and then responding to it. That's exciting, isn't it? That's exciting. That actually, it's not about what we do. It's about God's initiative in our life. And you know, this morning as we look at this story of Abraham and Lot, God's going to call you. He's going to speak into your life. I'm sure of it because he loves doing that. And for some of us, it's going to be a challenge. For others of us, it'll be a promise, or he'll be reminding us about something. So let's listen. Let's listen for his voice and hear what he's saying to us. So this story we looked at details two ambitious men. We see the ambition of Lot and we see the ambition of Abraham as well. So what we're going to do just simply is we're going to look at each one. We'll start with Lot and his ambitions in his life, and then we're going to look at the ambition of Abraham. So first of all then, Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew. And he's bought into the call as well that his uncle had, and so he's decided to travel with Abraham, to leave their original place where they were living, and to start this kind of nomadic lifestyle, moving around the area, going where God has called them to. And we find they're getting rich at the start of chapter 13. It says Abraham had become very wealthy with silver and gold and other things, and so we can assume that Lot is getting wealthy as well, and they're becoming wealthy men. And the land that they're in, they've become so wealthy, can't sustain them. That's a lot of stuff that they've got, a lot of cattle, a lot of people living with them, a lot of tents. They've got a lot of stuff. You see, when you're a nomad, when you get richer, it's not your bank account that gets bigger, you just get more stuff. It's a bit inconvenient if you are a nomad, because then you've got to take it all with you. And so they're travelling around, and they're running out of space. The space they're in is maxed out. And so they're looking at this, and Abraham sees that actually their men are quarrelling. They're starting to, I think that's a polite way of saying they're getting really cheesed off with each other. They're starting to fight. And you can imagine, you know, kind of some of Lot's men taking his herd of sheep to a new pasture so they can eat, and getting down there, and Abraham's men are already there, and they've been there for 3 or 4 days already, fighting over land, maybe a stream for some water and other bits and pieces, and who gets to put their tents in the best place. There's fighting breaking out. And Abraham looks at it and just says, look, let's not have any quarrelling between you and me or our men, because we're brothers, we're close family members. Is not the whole land before you? And he says, let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go right. If you go to the right, I'll go left. And you can almost imagine kind of Lot hearing this, and he can't believe his ears. You know, our Uncle Abe is basically saying, you know, take your pick of the land. You go first and you take the pick of it. And so he sees the plain of Jordan down by the river, and it looks lush and it looks green. And he sees this as the place in the area to get rich and to flourish, that he can grow here. He's got ambitions to become a wealthy, wealthy man. He could have said no. You know, he could have said, listen, uncle, you know, actually God's put this call on your life, and I'm part of that. I want to buy into that. I want to continue buying into it. I want to stay. He could have got his men together and told them to calm down, to stop being so angry. But he doesn't. He says, look, I'm going to go and grab some land. I'm going to be prosperous. This looks more exciting for me. And look what he says in verse 10, because it's a fascinating thing. He doesn't say, but it describes Lot. And it says, Lot looked up and saw the whole plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered, that it was like the garden of the Lord, that it was like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? That it was like the land, it was like the garden of the Lord. And commentators who write books on the Bible have kind of written pages and pages about this phrase, that it was like the garden of the Lord. They get really into this, and they're like, this is an interesting phrase. Why is it that Lot sees this land as like the garden of the Lord? You know, the garden of the Lord, that's what we're describing here, is Eden. And you'll know the story of Adam and Eve, that in the Garden of Eden, they had this perfect relationship with God. And that Adam and Eve decided to do their own thing, decided to ignore God, decided to eat the fruit, they committed sin, and then that perfect relationship with God was broken. Humanity from that point has been left incomplete. That all of us actually are, in one sense, have been unfulfilled because of that. That there's a gap in our lives from that moment. It's fascinating kicking off the Alpha course this past week. Because the Alpha course week one starts with the question, is there more to life than this? Asking that question, why is it that we're unfulfilled? Why is it that we've got a gap in our lives? Why is it that we don't seem to have what we want out of life? And it's from that moment, it's from what happened in Eden, that broken relationship. And perhaps at different times all of us have asked those questions, is there more to life than this? Why do I feel unfulfilled? Why is there a gap in my life? It's almost like since the fall, humanity has always been trying to get back to Eden, been trying to get back to the garden of the Lord, been trying to get back to that perfect relationship with God, trying to get back to the way things were. And on our journeys, trying to get back to Eden, we try different things, don't we? So we think, maybe a relationship will make me feel better. Maybe several relationships will make me feel better. Maybe, chasing after a career will make me feel better and will fill that gap, will mend that broken feeling I've got. Maybe a bigger bank account with more money. Maybe alcohol or something else, another addiction, might actually try and fill that space in me. We're all trying to find something. I remember chatting to a couple once who wanted to get married, and they'd been engaged for some time, and they kept falling out with each other and getting back together and falling out with each other and getting back together. And I remember sitting there with this couple and this lady saying to me, she goes, Mark, do you know what? Once we get married, everything's going to be all right. I was like, really? And for her, actually, there was this sense of unfulfillment, this gap in her life. And for her, she was banking everything on marriage. Once I do that, everything's going to feel better in my life. Now, it may not be a marriage for you, but there's something that if we're not careful, we can kind of say, this will make me feel better. And they don't work. The reason they don't work is because they're not designed to have this much pressure put on them. A career isn't designed to be the foundation of our lives. A marriage isn't designed to be the foundation of our life. Alcohol or something else isn't designed to be the foundation of our lives. And so eventually they break. They give way. They're a shallow foundation to build a life on. And eventually they fall away. In week one on the Alpha course, one of the quotes that gets pulled out is from the actor and comedian Jim Carrey. And reflecting on life, Jim Carrey says this. He says, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of. So they can see that it's not the answer. Fascinating, isn't it? That, we try different things. And actually, they're not designed to fulfill us. They're not designed to fill that space in our lives. There's nothing wrong with getting rich. There's nothing wrong with fame. There's nothing wrong with being Jim Carrey. It's one of my favourite actors. But there is a problem when that becomes the foundation. When that becomes what we build our lives on. Because they're not the answers. So going back to our story, remember, Lot is standing there and Uncle Abe has said to him, you can have wherever you want to go, you can go left or right, I'll go the other way. And Lot sees the plain of Jordan going down to the river and says, it looks like the Lord's garden. It looks like Eden, it looks like the garden of the Lord. No, it doesn't. It looks good, but it's not the garden of the Lord. You see, he's exaggerating, isn't he? Because when we put all our hopes in something, when we put all our dreams on something, we build it up. We say, this is going to be right. When I get married, everything's going to be better. Listen, when I get down to the plain of Jordan, everything's going to be better. It's going to be like the Garden of Eden. I'm going to become rich. I'm going to become prosperous. I'm going to be the man. No, you're not. You see the irony here. You see what Lot wants is he wants the garden of the Lord, but without the Lord.
It's not the Garden of Eden, because God's not there. He's not living. There's not that intimacy there with him. And the danger can be there for us. You know, putting all our hopes and all our dreams onto somebody or something or a career or our bank account or something like that, in the hope that it will fill the gap, in the hope that it will restore our relationship with God and everything will be all right. It's fruitless. It's like wanting to return to the Lord's garden, but without the Lord. And soon what we realise is we're not in the Garden of Eden. We're in our garden, mowing the lawn. And it's just another normal day. It's building on the wrong foundations. And they're shallow and they're weak and they're wobbly. And if you've got a chance, we haven't got time this morning, but if you want to go on and read about Lot in chapter 14 and in chapter 19, you can see just how weak and wobbly those foundations were for Lot and how much danger he got himself in. Ambitious man, but ambitious for the wrong things. So let's look at Abraham then. In this story, what was his ambition? What was he chasing after? And what we find is that actually his ambition was so different from Lot. And we see that in this offer that he makes to Lot. Now let's understand a little bit about what's happening here. Now Abraham is the patriarch of this family. He's the boss. He is the big daddy. You know, he's the father of many. And in his culture, he got to pick first. He got to have first choice. And suddenly he's turning round to his nephew, his younger nephew, and saying, go on, you have first pick. You decide where you go and I'll go the other way. You go left, I'll go right. He's being absolutely 100% countercultural in what he's doing. You can imagine other people listening in to this conversation and going, Abraham, you sure? Do you know what you're doing here? That you don't have to do this. You're going to give the best piece of land away. That is the best piece of land. That is where you're going to become rich. You don't need to do this. Think again. But in being absolutely countercultural, he's being absolutely smart and wise as well. You know, just look at the choices that Abraham could have made in this situation. See, the first thing he could have done is he said, look, we're running out of space, our men are fighting, so let's move. Let's go to another country, let's go to another land that's bigger, and then we can spread out even more, but we'll do it together. That way, he could have stayed rich, and probably got richer. And he would have stayed with his nephew. He would have had his family with him. But listen, what he would have ditched is the call of God, wouldn't he? Because what had God told him to do? Go to this land. Stay there. And I'm gonna bless you. Earlier on, in chapter 12, Abraham had decided to leave the land. There had been a famine. And so he'd gone down to Egypt and it went badly wrong. They got some food there, but Sarah, his wife, ended up living with Pharaoh for a while and there was all sort of trouble there and they ended up coming back into the promised land. He'd already tried that. He'd already tried life without God and away from his call. It didn't work. So he says, no, actually, I'm going to stay here because I'm going to put God first. The second thing he could have done is he could have said to Lot, he said, look, I am the boss, I am the big daddy, so actually, you need to go. I'm kicking you out of the land. This way, Abraham could have stayed with God's call, could have stayed rich, because he could have then farmed the whole land and lived there and made some more money. But what would he have lost? His nephew, he would have fallen out with him. He'd have a stroppy nephew on his hands, who would have been after him. So actually this way, By saying to Lot, you can choose where you go, you choose the best piece of land, you go there, what does Abraham do? He stays close to God with the call of God, because he stays where God wants him to be. He has a very happy nephew, who's got a big smile on his face because he can go and farm the piece of land that he wants. But what has Abraham put at risk? His wealth. He could lose everything by doing this, because he's now going to be living in a land that looks like all its resources have been exhausted. But it's incredibly smart, because it shows us what Abraham's ambition is, and it shows us that Abraham is a man who puts God first the call of God first. He puts family second, and everything else in life comes behind that, even his wealth. Now, it reminds me when Jesus was put on the spot by the Pharisees, and they said to him, "What's the most important thing in life, Jesus?" And Jesus said, "Look, the most important thing in life is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and to love others as you love yourself." You know, this is, Jesus says, this is the royal law. This is the way we want to live our lives. And many years before Jesus, Abraham got this. Listen, Lot, you go, you choose, because it's God first. It's other people, it's family second, and then everything else will come after that. What a great reminder this is for us this morning. It's such a simple thing, but what a great reminder it is that real riches are found in God and in the relationships that God gives us, not in money or other things and other stuff. How often, a little bit like Lot, we end up having our eyes taken and we end up chasing after stuff. And we put that ahead of God, or we put that ahead of other relationships. Well, great reminder it is from Abraham just to say, right, this is what is most important. God first, others second, and stuff third. What a great ambition. And he's able to do this. He's able to do this because he understands what foundations are in his life. If you've got your Bibles there, just flick forward to Hebrews. Chapter 11. It's on page 1209. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 has this kind of hall of fame for men and women of the faith, and he's looking back and just reminding people of their stories. And in verse 8, he's reminding us about Abraham. And he says this in chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. I think that's an incredible verse, that Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. What's this telling us about Abraham? He's saying, actually, he knew where the best foundations were. He knew on what he had to build his life. That it wasn't wealth, it wasn't prosperity, it wasn't having the best piece of land to go and take all his family and herds down to. It was actually keeping his eyes on God's kingdom, where the foundations are deep and where the architect and the builder is God. He put God's call first. You know, we sung earlier, didn't we? Shout to the Lord, nothing compares to the promise I have in you. You see, for Abraham, nothing compared to the promise and the call of God. Because the foundations of that are deep and they're strong and they're firm. And God said to Abraham, leave your family, your job, your security, and come and build your life on my foundations. Make my righteousness your wealth, Abraham. Make my love your identity. Make my approval your joy. Make my will your mission and purpose. Make my salvation your story. And Abraham's done this. He said, nothing compares to you, God. I'm going to build my life on you. Your foundations are best. And so when he's looking out across the land and he's got his nephew there, he's able to say, you choose. That's not what I'm building my life on. So if you want it, it's yours. My life is being built on God's call. That's where the foundations are. Lot, you have the best if you want it. Because my eyes and my life are built on something else. It's an incredible thing. It's an incredible thing. And this is why, time and time again, as Abraham's story unfolds, and we see challenge after challenge after challenge coming at him, he's able to go, I'm building on God. Whatever God wants, whatever the call of God is, because his foundations are best. They're going nowhere. So just as we finish then, I guess the last thing to look at is, what about my ambition? What about your ambition? What are you building your life on? What am I building my life on? You see, being a Christian isn't about coming to church. It isn't about saying the right things and not saying the wrong things. It's not about being charitable. What being a Christian is about having the call of God and building your life upon that. Is God truly my foundation? Is he truly your foundation? Do we put God's call above anyone else and anything else? Even if it means losing out. Even if it means taking a hit. Even if it means things don't go the way we want. Is following God, is building our life on him, most important? You know, if I'm honest, I can sometimes find myself like Lot. You know, I think I am building my life on God. You know, and I'm here, and these are the foundations. But every now and again, something will catch my eye, or a situation will, and I'll just dip my toe kind of back in. You know, and I think, actually, if I just had that in my life, it would be so much better, and everything would be better. If I just had a bit more money, then it would feel better. And I kind of dip my toe in. If I knew that person, if I was here, if I was there. And we can do that, can't we? We say, you know, God, I'm building on you. But then every now and again, something will come and just take our mind and catch our attention. It's so easy to think that other things are going to fulfill us, that other things are going to be better. You think, it'll just be like the Garden of Eden. Now this morning, I think the message is, let's get back building on God. Let's make him our foundation. The call of God in Christianity is realizing that we have new foundations that we can build on, and then choosing to go and build on them. And every time we say no to something else, every time we say, no, actually, God, you're most important, every time we turn something else away, it's saying yes to God, you are my foundation. And then making this our prayer. Hebrews 11, I will look forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God.